Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 11 is where we're going to start off. We are going to do a little bit of a more of a topical message this morning. I know we don't always do this on Sunday mornings, but being Father's Day, there's a thought that the Lord laid upon my heart, and I think you'll get it and understand it, and hopefully it will be an encouragement and help to you. Entitled tonight's, this morning's message is, How Much More? How Much More? It's an interesting comparison in the Bible where you see that there is the heavenly Father and then there's an earthly Father. And the thought behind it is how much better the heavenly Father is than the earthly Father. Say, what are you getting at? God, who is perfect, is 10 times better than any good father, much less those that are struggling as fathers. God is better than our best dads. How you say, well, Pastor, how do you learn to be a good father? You learn through God, by His Spirit. And in this passage of Scripture, in chapter number 11, verses 11 through 13, it gives you a picture that if a child came up and asked their father for something, how the father responds, and it kind of teaches them something about this. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, and as we look at some different thoughts, there's some comparisons that are found in the Bible that they say, hey, this is the way your earthly father does it, and this is the way your heavenly Father does it. And I am thankful for the example that's found in the Bible about how to act as a father by watching and listening about how the Heavenly Father reacts to things. So let's jump in here. Luke chapter number 11. Let's look at verse number 11. It said, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give a fish? Will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now, that's pretty easy to understand. If you go up and ask your father, who loves you, for something that is reasonable and something that is needed, for instance, a bread, meat, eggs, what's he going to give you? Is he going to turn around and give you a stone? You might have a father that's a jokester who might give you a stone and joke around or give you a serpent instead of a fish. But in all reality, when you consider this, yeah, it's pretty logically that God can do that. But look what it says in verse 13. If ye then being evil, and what does it refer to evil? It's talking about as sinners. It's talking about that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We have limitations. As a father, we have weaknesses. As a father, we have hang-ups. As a father, we have things that we struggle with. But here's the comparison. If your earthly father is able to give you what you need, imagine how much more what your heavenly Father can do. It says, if ye, then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So the thought this morning as we compare our heavenly Father to earthly fathers is not to try to bash your earthly fathers for the weaknesses they have, but instead to lift up the heavenly Father and understand I need to be more like our heavenly Father in order to do the how much more part. See, God has no limitations like our earthly fathers do. God has none of the weaknesses that I have and other fathers have. God has no hang-ups, none of them. The point Jesus is making here, even as a fallen father, a father that has a sin nature can get good gifts, and they usually do that. Almost everywhere in the world, in spite of sin, in spite of evil, fathers are genuinely good to their children, and they're jealous for their children. We even hear sometimes the fathers that struggle say, if you mess with my child, you're going to have to deal with me. And that's inside of every good father, sin or no sin. He's on the side of his child when his child is in trouble. And this is what Jesus is trying to inspire them with is, if your father that's a sinner can do this, even though he has a sinful nature, even though he knows how to be good to his child, just think how much more your perfect heavenly Father is eager to see his child to do what's necessary to succeed. Think about that for a minute. Jesus is here and he's speaking about this passage of Scripture. In verse number 1, his disciples come to him and he says unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And then he begins a model prayer. It is a little bit different than the one that's in Matthew chapter number 6, because I believe it's a different time period when he's giving it. Matthew 6, he's on at the Sermon on the Mount. This is a different time. But in verse number 5, he gives a little bit of a parable. It says, "And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and have nothing to set before him. And he from within all shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." So what the scripture is teaching with this parable, he's saying if someone comes to your house at midnight and said, "Hey, can I have 3 loaves of bread?" What are you going to say? For most people, going to say, "Hey, get off my porch. It's midnight. Come back tomorrow." But this man, and the story, what it's saying is they sit there and keep on knocking and knocking. "I need it. I need it. I need it." Why is that man there knocking? It's because he has nothing to give to his friend. And the picture that's here is, it's not the fact that God is sleeping. You got to wake him up. The picture is the fact that you have a Heavenly Father that is able and willing to give those things that are needed. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is seek. All you have to do is seek those things that are after what He desires for you, and He'll open up those things for you. But here's the point about the importunity, is that that man understood he had to go bother his friend that had the 3 loaves. That man understood the truth. I have nothing to offer my friend, but I need to go to someone who does. And as a father, and not just as a father, but anyone who's a leader, anyone who has influence, we realize we have nothing to offer to other people except for what the Heavenly Father gives us. As a father, something I understand, I realize, and I consider in my own heart, in my own life, what is it that I want to pass on to my sons? What is it that I want to pass on to this church? What is it that I want to leave behind? I don't want to leave more of Brian Pease. I want to leave more of what God can do and what God can accomplish and what God can work through. And with that importunity, he's coming and he's saying, hey, I need your help. And that's the picture there. We continue to go to God and continue to go to God and continue to go to God because we understand that in our own flesh, in our own strength, in our own mind, we have nothing to offer to our children. We have nothing to offer to others except for those things that God is able to teach us and give us. And as you see at the end of verse number 13, the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. He's saying his spirit, that people could see God through us. So as we look at a little bit of a comparison today, is Heavenly Father versus Earthly Father. The Bible actually shows some different things in the comparison there. The first one you see here is in verse number 13, who can give good gifts. The Earthly Father even knows to do right by his child. The Earthly Father knows if a child is hungry, you're not going to give him a rock. The Earthly Father knows if he wants something as good and healthy as fish, you're not going to turn around and give him a serpent. He understands that. Even being evil, even having a sinful nature, we get that. We understand that. But how much more your Heavenly Father is able to do and give to those? That's where we come to the spot. How much more? And that's where I've been thinking and praying and saying, Lord, I don't want to give what I can give. I want to give what you can give. I want to offer to this world what God has to offer by letting the Holy Spirit live and control. And so today, when we look at these examples, I want you to consider some of these things. First of all, is he your father? Go ahead and take your Bible to John chapter number 1. We're going to turn to 4 different passages today, so bear with me as you go through, or you can look up on your own John chapter number 1. If you go to the right side of your Bible, it's probably 15 or 20 pages, depending on the style Bible, print size, and things like that. It's probably 15 to 20 pages over. In John chapter number 1, it gives this idea of calling being a child of God. John chapter number 1, it says verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, this is not about the comparison. This is, first of all, help us understand, are you a child of God? Now, I know I've met people, and you can read things online, you can watch things, and they say, we're all part of God's children. where all of us are God's children. All of us are this. That's just not true. It says right here in verse number 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So there is something that has to happen for you to become a child of God. You say, Pastor, I thought God created the heaven and earth. We are all creatures of God. We are all creations of God. We are not children of God. And sometimes people say, oh, we're all God's children when they're talking about some false cult or some false religion. They say, oh, we're all worshiping the same God. We all serve the same God. We're all children of God. That is just not true. According to what the Bible says here, is that to be able to be a son of God, it says that we must believe in him. But as many as received him, we must receive him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. You do not have the power in your own strength to become a son of God. No one else in this world has the power to make you a son of God. But it says, for those, it says, even them that believe on his name. It's believing. It's not just believing that there is a God, because even the devils believe there is a God. Even those that are in false religions believe there is a God. It's you believe on his name. You believe that Jesus Christ came to this world, and because we were all sinners in need of a Savior, Jesus Christ came to this world, and he died for our sins, and that he was buried, and he rose again. That's the gospel. He did that according to the scriptures for our sins. He bore our punishment. He took our sins upon himself so we could be made free. So this morning, are you a child of God? Is he your father? And if he is your father, I want to today take a little bit of time just to brag about our father. Now, we can brag about our earthly fathers. I've been teaching a widow ladies class, and some of the ladies had the opportunity this morning to talk about their earthly fathers. And my earthly father's here today. My dad's here with us today. First time I think I've seen him on Father's Day in 19 years. I've never got to being here for 19 years. We've never went home and visited on Father's Day. I don't like missing Sundays. But the first time in 19 years, I'm going to get to enjoy a meal with him after the service. Thankful that him and my brother came, and all thankful for all those things. And I could brag about my dad for a little while. But this morning, we're going to brag about our Heavenly Father. And we're going to look at how earthly fathers, even good ones, even those that do love their kids, and even those that try to make themselves available, and even those that correct their children, they pale in comparison to what the Heavenly Father does. So let's take our Bible now to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. I want you to consider three different things this morning. We could consider a lot more, but these are things that the Bible specifically has given you as an example. Matthew chapter number 6 is where we're going to start off with. First off, I want you to think about, consider his availability. How much more God is available to us than our earthly fathers. I mentioned it's been 19 years since I saw my dad on Father's Day. I can call my dad anytime I want, and he'll pick up the phone. He'll talk to me for a while. But there are times when he's not available. He makes himself as available for me as he can, but there are times that he is not here. Someday, one of the two of us are going to leave this world, and no longer will we be able to physically be in the presence of one another. My dad has done his best over the years to make sure I went to a Christian school. He's done his best to make it to my ball games, my soccer games. For some reason, he thought I was the best player out there. I think he was a little bit biased because I know I wasn't the best player. But he would do his best. He was a police officer for over 30 years. His schedule was always tight, and he always did these things. He was available to me. But the reality is that there were some things that he missed. Not very many as a child, but now living 5-6 hours away, there are things that he's not always available. The guy needs to live. He needs to sleep. He's not always available. Sometimes as a human, we got to use the bathroom. We're not always available for things, right? I mean, we are limited, aren't we? There are times, and there is a day and a time when, I don't know who's going to go first, but when one of us are not going to be here anymore. And they're not going to be available to see him. And many of you have fathers like that today. As the widows were talking about their fathers, that's just truth. They're not available. But you know what God's promises? He says, I'm never going to leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that amazing? He has promises. Even as much as we look up to our earthly fathers, many of us, I know there are some fathers that aren't the greatest, and some fathers that you have horror stories instead of good stories about. I understand that. But as much as we may look up to our earthly father, there is a heavenly father that says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There is a heavenly father that says, you can approach me anytime. Even in the book of Hebrews, he puts it this way, let us therefore boldly come unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace, the help, and the time of need. There's been different times when I needed help and there wasn't a phone to where I could call my dad. There wasn't the opportunities where I felt like he could help me because it wasn't his skill set or it wasn't the things that he maybe knew about. There were times when I needed help and there was one that I could always go to that had probably He's never going to leave me nor forsake me, and I can find the help that I need. Phones sometimes break. Sometimes the phone's busy. Sometimes people don't even want to answer the phone. I don't think my dad has ever done that to me, but I'm not sure, but I don't think he has. But at the same time, there is a heavenly Father who is available to us all the time through prayer. Here in Matthew chapter number 6, I think is one of the most powerful passages when you consider prayer. Look what it says in verse number 5. We're going to go through this quickly. He says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Meaning that there are people who pray the wrong way. They pray hypocritical type prayers. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of streets that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto thee, they have their reward. And last week we talked about what type of reward are you looking for. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. So there's a principle there. You pray, and you do it privately, God can reward you openly. He says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. The heathen believe if you just keep on talking and talking and talking, then God's going to figure out what you need. But the amazing thing is found in verse number 8, but be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. Think about the availability of our Heavenly Father. Not only is He always available to us, He always knows what we need. The truth of the matter is, I don't always know what my sons need. Some of you have daughters. I have no idea how you figure out what they need because I haven't figured out women because you never know what they need. So she's smiling. She's got a daughter. So she's got a couple daughters. You don't always know what your child needs. You do the best you can. And sometimes you have to listen to them. And sometimes they just keep on talking. You're trying to explain. You don't have to do that with your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father says that He already knows what you need. And you say, why does He want you to pray? Because He wants to hear you say, I need your help. He wants you to understand it's not you that can do it on your own and your own strength. He has the much more available to you if you will give your heart and say, I need your help. I don't always know what my sons need. And I'd like to think I know what they need, but I get it wrong. I probably get it wrong often. But I have a Heavenly Father that's not only available and not only knows what I need, but Jesus teaches us. Look what it says. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. And what is his first two words? Our Father. He says, I want you to consider that as you approach me. I'm unlike any other father. I don't have the hang-ups. I don't have the weaknesses. I don't have the shortcomings. He says, our Father. And he says, which art in heaven? It's different than the earthly Father. He's different because our Heavenly Father has the resources that we need. Not only does He have the resources we need, He knows what we need, and He can give us what we need. And our earthly fathers would do whatever they could to help us. A good father is going to do whatever they can to help instruct and teach and show. But we have a Heavenly Father that we can approach who already knows. And He says, I want you to approach me like you approach your father. I would want my two sons, if they're comfortable, to come talk to me about anything. I would want them to come and approach me about, hey, Dad, I need some help here and talk about certain things. I think as a parent, that's what we desire, is our children to feel comfortable to come and say, hey, can we talk about something? And sometimes we might feel uncomfortable. Sometimes my sons might think, hey, my dad's not interested. Or my sons might think my dad's going to be upset or mad. I don't want to go talk to him because of that. And usually we get in trouble because of those things. And when we think about it, our Heavenly Father, who already knows what we need, He gives this image, and this imagery, He says, hey, I want you to call me Father. I want you to feel comfortable. You might think, hey, God doesn't care about what I have. God doesn't care about this need. God doesn't this. No, he says, I want you to look at me as a father. I want you to approach me just like you would want your own children to feel comfortable to approach you and talk to you and speak to you and tell you about their desires and their wants and all those things. He says, I want you to, and that's what he says. Jesus is teaching them. This is how you pray. You start off by saying, our Father. You remember the relationship that's there. That's a relationship that means, hey, come talk to me. I will help you any way I can. Now, as an earthly father, we make mistakes. As an earthly father, I might not have the financial things. If Andrew comes up to me and asks me for $1 million, I don't have it. But you know what? We have a heavenly father who knows whether or not Andrew needs that $1 million, which we all know he doesn't, right? So maybe, maybe not. Whatever the Lord wants, consider his availability. And you sit there and you read this, and it's not just an availability for someone to listen. It's an availability for someone to do. Because we already established a principle in Luke chapter number 1, is that if you ask and you desire, he's going to give it to you. So not only is he available, he says, if you ask, I'll give it to you. I ask God for things all the time, and I know we're not going to try to be a dead horse. It's us lining up to God's desires, because he gives us the desires of our hearts when our hearts has the same desires he has for us. Why is that? Because a good father is going to give something that your child needs. He's not going to turn around and give him something he doesn't need. He's not going to give him something that's going to hurt him. So many times people say, well, I talk to God and he never hears my prayers. He always hears your prayer. If you have a clean heart, he's promised he's going to hear your prayers. But the answer is no. And how many times do we know that there's sometimes our children need the answer no? Sometimes our children need to hear, no, you can't go run in the street. No, you can't stick a fork in the socket. No, you can't do this or you can't do that because it's not healthy for you. And we have a Heavenly Father that is so much the more able to not only be available, but in his availability, he is available to do. And I know there's some people out there that make themselves available. Hey, Pastor, I'm here for you. But there are certain things that you can't do. As a pastor, I want to make myself available. I tell people, hey, if you need something, I'll be there. Just let me know. I want to come and I want to help. And sometimes they talk about situations that humanly no one can do anything to help. Only God can do it. And all I can do is pray. And that's not just the only thing you can do, because prayer is a lot, but I can't fix it. But God is available not just to hear. God is available to do what he thinks is best. That's availability. It's so much more than what an earthly father can give. Next thing I want you to think about is consider his love and compassion. Take your Bible to Psalms 103. Psalms 103. I would encourage you to go home and read Psalms 103. It is such a great passage of Scripture. If I had time, we'd kind of go through all of it. I thought about making the message in two parts and just spending some time here in Psalms 103. But it's amazing. Psalms 103, verse number 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It's a song, I think, right? At least you can put it to music. And it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And you can sit here and talk about this all day, about he gives, you don't forget the benefits of God and how he forgives us from our sins and how he heals us and how he satisfies us. And the Lord executeth righteousness. He always does what's right, and judgment for all that oppress. And even if someone is attacking you, you can trust the Lord's always going to do what's right. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And I'm thankful for that. You think about it, he has not dealt, look, it continues on, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You think about those words, they're amazing. Now come to verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. There's comparison there. That pitieth means love, means compassionate. all those different things that are happening there. He says, when you compare with the earthly father, and once again, we have love for our children. We want to pity them. We want to show our compassion on them. We want to do what's right, and we want to do what's best, and we see their hurting, and we want to be there for them. We see their need. We want to supply that need. And here's the comparison is, like as the father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. They say, well, where's the comparison? They says, God, the father already pities his children, already loves them. He's making comparison. Here's the thing is, God knows us better than we know ourselves. The earthly father cannot love like God loves. The earthly father cannot compassion the way that God does. Why do you say that? Because the earthly father doesn't know everything on the inside. There are things, especially as you become adults, that you carry that are heavy. Things that I tell my dad a lot, we talk about a lot of different things. Things, though, that I keep myself. How often do we have unspoken prayer requests? Things that we cannot share with anyone else. Things that we just seek God to intercede and God to work and God to move. God's the only one that sees that and loves us like that. And pities us, and the idea he's compassionate towards us. He is the so much the more. That's why we love him so much. So much the more in the fact that the way he loves us and the way he shows compassion to us. It's amazing if you go home and you read this passage of scripture, but all you have to think about is he has in verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities, meaning that he has forgiven us for the things we've done. How many of us are thankful that our parents don't hold everything against us? I know sometimes they love telling stories about us as kids and reminding them of stories and things like that. I love, Christian has a girl that he's dating, and every once in a while I love telling a story to Alyssa because I like to remind him that, he's not perfect, and it's just fun. As a parent, I never had that opportunity before. He hates it. He doesn't even always like me to talk to her sometimes, I think. Why is that? It's because sometimes we bring things up. As humans, sometimes we are hurt so much, we don't know how to love the right way. Our Heavenly Father, you know what he does with our sins? He says in verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, and as great is his mercy toward them that fear him, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. He loves us. He treats us unlike we can treat others. Because sometimes we have bitterness. Sometimes someone has hurt us and we don't know how to minister because of the fact that they've hurt us. And we don't love the way that God does because he has that perfect love. His love is so much more than what an earthly father can offer. And don't get me wrong, that earthly father can love and continue on loving, and as a mother, love and continue on loving, and you feel like you couldn't love anything even more. God's love is so much more towards us. And we're thankful for that, and we praise that. Third thing, and I know we've got to move for the sake of time, is consider his correction. So you say, Pastor, he's available, he's able to do, that's great. He forgives us of our sins. That means I can go out and do whatever I want, and God's just going to forgive me and keep on loving me. Now, would a good father do that? And the answer is no. And it's found in the scriptures about a father and how a father for correction. But let's take our Bibles back to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. On Wednesday night, probably a few weeks ago, we looked a little bit at this passage of scripture and we looked at this thought. In Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse number 5. And he even tells us, consider in thine heart. Verse number 5, Deuteronomy 8, 5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart. So this is something that he's telling to the nation of Israel. I want you to think about this. I don't want you to just pass over it. It's not just a joke, not just a story. It's just not a byline. And he says, I want you to stop. I want you to think about this. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Been telling a little bit of stories about my dad this morning. It's Father's Day. We all have stories. My dad was good at chastening me. So, no, my dad was very kind. But there were times when my mom punished me. I was a smart aleck kid. You've heard me tell this before. And when my mom would punish me, I used to say things that were mocking. I would not do that to my dad because my dad could punish me a lot harder. And I think you know what I'm talking about. And the reality is we correct our children because we love them. Just as a earthly father chastens his son, the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. That's talking about correction. You say, well, once again, there's a comparison. So much the more. There are things today that my dad does not know I did when I was growing up. Probably a lot of things. My sons come home from college and they're talking about things and they always say, oh yeah, Dad, I told you about that. Andrew the other day said it was with a friend and they were in a little car accident. And I remember the first time he told me that. And I said, son, you were in a car accident? He said, yeah, it was a couple weeks ago, Dad. I told you about it. I said, no, you didn't. I would remember that. They say I'm getting older and I forget things more often, but I know he didn't tell me that. And he wasn't the one driving, right? He was just the passenger, I believe. Backseat even. So he didn't cause the accident. Thankful for that. But their thing that they come home, talk about at school, and they just kind of look at each other and smile. Why is that? Because they don't plan on telling mom and dad. Now, if we say, what are you boys talking about? They say, oh, don't worry about it. That doesn't cut it in our house. No, we want to know what you're talking about right now. There are things they do at school that I don't know. Why? So when it comes to chastening, our Heavenly Father knows all about it. He knows we're never going to. And you say, well, why is that passage there? It's not just to show that the earthly father and teach us that so much the more. I think sometimes if we feel like we can get away with things with our earthly father, that, okay, if there's no punishment, what's the big deal? But over here with the Heavenly Father, it's a big deal because he knows everything you've ever done. He knows everything you've ever thought, everything you're going to do, and he still loves you. He's available. He's able to go talk to. He's able to do. Not only is he available, he is loving and he is compassionate, but he is a Heavenly Father that is always righteous and that is always just. So you ain't getting away with it. The Heavenly Father's so much the more when it comes to the chastening and the correcting, because not only are you not getting away from it, he knows exactly what you need too to help make it better. Because that's what we want for our children, is we want to correct them to help them so that way they can grow and contribute not only in society but for the work of the Lord, for the Lord's kingdom, for the Lord's. This is why we don't let them do whatever they want, because if you let them do whatever they want, they're not going to grow up to be. And the Bible talks about correcting your children. The Bible talks about sparing not the rod. The Bible talks about a child left to himself shall bring his mother shame. The Bible talks about all those things. And chastening is something that is a part of life and something I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for the correction I received. It's probably a lot more that I should have received. But God doesn't let you get away with it. And that's just so much the more. You say, are you saying we should be afraid of him? I don't know about you, but that causes me to stop and think, hey, my dad might not know about it. My wife might not know about it. Nobody in this room may know about it. But the God that loves me and the God that knows what I need knows exactly what it is. And he can correct me better than anyone else can, because it's limitless in what he can or cannot do. I mean, none of you can go get a whale and have him swallow me, can you? You're not able to do that. But God knew that's exactly what Jonah needed. And he still didn't learn his lesson. He's still grumpy at the end of the book. Why is that? Because God chastens us. And it's amazing and for me, as I remember reading that passage a little while ago and just kept on coming in my mind, you may be getting away with it, but God sees it. You may be thinking nobody else sees. God sees. He is so much the more, and he is able to take care of it. And I'm thankful, as we learned in Psalms 103, that he is plenteous in mercy. And I'm thankful that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. I understand that. I'm thankful for all that. But when I consider his correction, it is so much the more than what I can do as an earthly father. Because sometimes if your child does something and you just don't know what to do, you just don't know what to say, you know they need to be punished, you know they need some type of correction, you don't want to see them continue to go down that road, but if you keep on pushing, you keep on pushing, all you're going to do is go farther away. Your Heavenly Father knows how to do all that. And the amazing thing is, he told us at the beginning that he will give us his Spirit, We have His Spirit, but He'll even allow us to be filled with His Spirit so we can have the mind of Christ, so we can do those things that would please Him. I want to encourage you today. Earthly fathers, they're great. I'm thankful that there is a day set aside for them. Heavenly Father, so much the more. Because there's limitations over here. There's mistakes. There's problems. There's a sin nature. Earthly Father, He's perfect. When you consider His availability, He is always there. The phone will not be busy. The phone will not be dead. He is not going to perish and leave this world someday. He's not only available, though, to be present. He is able to perform to what we need. It's not just a listening ear, as what many times our fathers are, someone who can listen and can pray with us. He is available, and He's able to perform it too. He even gives us verses that talk about that. And then consider His love and compassion. They're amazing. You go back and you read those verses in Psalms 103, and you think about how much you pity your child, you love them and compassionate towards your child. God is so much the more, because we fail in our love sometimes. We struggle with it. We get bitter about a certain sin and we become fleshly and we think it's okay and we stop loving people the way that they deserve to be loved, and because of that we fail and we got to get it right. I'm thankful God doesn't fail. He loves us. He takes those sins as we confess them and sends them from the far as the east as from the west. And last but not least, consider His correction. Don't think you're getting away with something. There are some times in my life that I got away with a couple of things. Plenty of times I didn't get away with things. And I'm thankful, as I remember going back, growing up, there were some times I got corrected. I didn't like it at that moment in time, obviously. Even in the book of Hebrews, you can take your Bible there if you like to. We're closing with this, or you can just listen. In Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about chastening. In Hebrews 12, and verse number 6, it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourges every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth you as a son, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are ye partakers? Then are ye bastards and not sons." Now think about what this says here for a little while. "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh," talking about earthly fathers, "which corrected us," which you're supposed to do. "We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." So if you think about what it says there, "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure." Meaning lots of times the parents want to correct them, not just out of love, but so that way their kid won't keep on doing the same thing over and over. But we have a God who is the prophet of us, is that we get to become more holy, that we get to have that peaceful fruit of righteousness. If we were able to reverence our earthly fathers because of the way that they corrected us, how much more should we be in subjection to our Father that's up in heaven? Today, do you reverence Him? I don't. I love my dad. I respect my dad. I haven't always reverenced and respected and honored him like I should over the years. How much do we do that to our Heavenly Father? Consider His availability. Consider His love. Consider His correction. It's so much better than what we can do earthly. But thankfully, God fills us with His Spirit if we allow Him to the point that we can have that mind of Christ. This morning, is He your Father? He is an amazing Father. If you don't know Him, let me encourage you to come forward during the invitation time. We'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how the Bible is talking about how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. Secondly, if He is your Father, do you reverence Him? He is an amazing God. Compared to earthly fathers that we love, that we lift up, 10 times better. Do we love Him? Consider how much He loves you. Consider His availability. And consider His correction. And then praise Him for it. Reverence Him for it. And as we honor our earthly fathers today, Let's honor him each and every day because he's so much the more. Let's pray. Dearly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the things you showed us in your word, how an earthly father pities his child, how an earthly father chastens us, how an earthly father tries to make himself available, but you're so much the more. Lord, you tell us to honor our fathers, and Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that's struggling with that, that they would come to you. And Lord, I pray that we as individuals will honor our fathers, and Lord, that we would reverence and love you, Lord, unlike anything else. Lord, I pray you speak to people's hearts. If there's someone here today that says, Pastor, I'm not sure if he's my heavenly father, Lord, I pray you convict their heart, that they would come forward so we can show them from the Bible what the Word of God says, how they can become sons of God. And to the others that are in the room, Lord, I pray that they relish in the fact that you're available, they relish in the fact that you love us, and they relish in the fact that you chasten us, that you don't leave us where we're at. And God, that we would respond by giving you our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.